One day, a rabbi, a Hindu, and a TV preacher were riding together to a conference, and it was a long ways away, a long drive, and their car broke down in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. I don't know about y'all, but when my car breaks down, it's always either in the middle of nowhere or in the middle of the busiest intersection in town. Anybody? So they were driving to this conference. The car broke down. They walked for a few miles, and they finally found an old farmhouse. So they knocked on the door, and the farmer answered, and they said, "Sir, we're so sorry to bother you, but our car broke down, and the tow truck can't come until tomorrow. Would you mind if we stayed the night here?" The old farmer said, "Well, I don't mind, but there's one issue. You see, I only have enough room for two people in the house, so one of y'all is going to have to sleep in the barn." The Hindu said, "Okay, I volunteer. I'll sleep in the barn." 10 minutes later, they heard a knock at the door. It was the Hindu. He said, "Sir, there's a cow in that barn. They're sacred. I cannot sleep there." So the rabbi spoke up and he said, "You know, I really should have been the first one to volunteer. I'll go sleep in the barn." 10 minutes later, they heard a knock at the door again. It was the rabbi. He said, "There's a pig in that barn and they're unclean. They're not kosher. I can't sleep there." Finally, the TV preacher said, "No problem. I'll do it. I'll sleep out in the barn." 10 minutes later, they heard a knock at the door. It was the cow and the pig. They said, "Get me out of here." Sometimes when it comes to church, people don't know what to expect, okay? So don't get nervous in the service. We're just glad that you're here today. Y'all do me a favor. Smile at somebody and tell them, "I'm glad you're here." Today, we're going to talk about becoming a five-star father. And before I get into the message, let me say two things. Number one, being a father is about more than just biology. Okay, you understand that? You don't have to biologically father a child to be their father. In fact, there are many men in this church who have raised children as their own, and they might not be the biological dad, but they are the real dad. And God bless you for that. James 1:27 says this, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So if our God is a father to the fatherless, as the Bible says, God is also calling Christian men to be the same. So number one, being a father is more about biology. And number two, every father is a work in progress. There is only one perfect father, and I hate to tell you this on Father's Day, but it ain't you, all right? I'm talking about our Father in heaven. He is the perfect father, but the rest of us are still working on it, aren't we? Come on, we all make mistakes. I'm definitely not batting 1,000 when it comes to being a father of the year. I think about one Sunday morning, my wife had to come to church early for a meeting, so it was my job to get Hudson ready for church. And apparently I wasn't watching him as much as I should have been because he managed to shove a chocolate-covered raisin all the way up into his nose. And let me tell you, that thing was stuck. I mean, it was really in there. He freaked out. I freaked out. He was crying hysterically. And here I was, the great dad I am, trying not to laugh because he had chocolate running out of one of his nostrils while he was crying. I finally sneezed and that thing came shooting across the room. Don't look at me like you're perfect. You've done stuff like that. Come on, we're all a work in progress. And today's message is for the dads who are a work in progress. There may be some areas where you're strong and there may be other areas where you need to grow stronger. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate those areas where you're strong, and I'm going to encourage you today to grow in those areas where you need improvement. Now, I've got some rules for the ladies. I know I already messed you. Y'all are already so mad at me after that last joke I gave Andy. I'm going to get cards and letters. And by the way, my email is christianstrada@gc.life. Feel free, unfiltered, just complain about everything. All right. But I got a rule for the ladies. Ladies, when you leave service today, don't critique your husband on the things that he's weak in. Encourage him in the things he's strong in and trust God to deal with those areas, all right? Do we have a deal? Okay. Ready or not, here we come. So because I have a short message today, I gave you these gloves to help you remember the 5 points of my message, okay? 5 fingers, 5 points. And gloves also represent hard work, don't they? I have never had a more difficult job than being a father. And I have to deal with you people every week. Come on, so that's saying something, isn't it? Come on, I've never had a more difficult job than being a daddy. And listen, I helped my brother-in-law clean a chicken plant, okay, one summer. It's a tough job. Tough crowd today, all right. I'll just keep on going. I'll quit while I'm behind. All right, here we go. Becoming a five-star father. I'm going to quickly give you 5 things that a good father is. Are you ready? Number one is protector. A good father protects his children. A good father is protective of you. He is concerned about your well-being. It might get on your nerves. It might irritate you, but he is looking out for you. Good father is not afraid to embarrass you in front of all your friends. Who's that? Well, where are y'all going? What time do you come? Midnight, you have lost your mind. Come on. When your date comes to pick you up, your daddy will scare the devil out of it. Boy, what's your name? What's your mama's name? Let me see your driver's license. Pee in this cup. I'm going to drug test you right now. Come on, y'all. It's embarrassing, but he's protective. He's looking out for you. I heard about a dad, a young man came up to pick his daughter up for a date, and he took it and he threw a bullet at him. And he said, boy, it travels a lot faster after 10 p.m. I just want to let you. I'm not saying do that, but I think it worked for him. I think she was home at 9:45. Some of y'all are going to try that. A good father is a protector. Here's another way dads protect their kids, by taking the hit so they don't have to. Dad, it's our job to be strong, isn't it? It's your job to protect your children from the stress and the pressure that life brings your way. Don't come home and unload on your family. Come on, y'all. As a leader, there are some things that you have to carry, so be strong and protect them. Do you know that there were times when I was growing up that my parents struggled financially, and do you know that I never knew about it? Why? Because they protected my brother and I. They didn't put their stress on us. Amen. Y'all aren't shouting and jumping, but I hope you're listening. A good father protects his family. And now we all go through stuff, and we all go through stress, but that doesn't mean that we can pass that stress on to the people that God has put in our care. In the Bible, there was a man named Job, and Job was dealing with some heavy stuff. I mean, family problems, money problems, health problems. And after days of complaining about it to God, this is what God says to him. And I tell you, God's got a sense of humor, y'all. He said in Job 38:3, gird up now thy loins like a man. In other words, put your big boy pants on. Come on, y'all. We're living in a backwards world today, because nowadays the men cry more than the women do. Oh, I just can't take it. I'm falling apart. I can't deal with this stress. I can't handle it. I'm sick of this. I'm going to my mama's house. And no wonder the woman says, it's okay, baby. I'll take care of it. You'll be all right. Got it backwards. Sometimes you got to put your big boy pants on. Oh, a good father is a protector. A good father guards the door of his house. In other words, he doesn't let just anything come into the home. A good father makes sure that his home is a place of safety and of peace. And as a father, there is some stuff I won't allow in my house. I don't allow profanity in my house. It's not going to happen. Some of y'all might be cussing Christians, okay? If you want to cuss, go to their house, but you can't do that in my house. Did you know that I never heard a curse word in my home growing up? Not one time. That is a testimony that somebody was guarding the door. And it's easier for me to set that standard because he set that standard. You know what I'm saying? And some of you, you grew up around constant profanity. Maybe you know cuss words I've never even heard of before. And I've been on Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. I heard some good ones. Maybe y'all know even more than that, but I don't know. Maybe right now your home isn't like that, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Okay, maybe you can break the curse and leave a legacy for the generation to come. A good father guards the door. Can't cuss at my house. Can't bring alcohol in my house. Oh, the sipping saints didn't like that one, but I can't do it. No alcohol, no pornography. There are certain TV shows and movies that I will not watch, and you can't watch when you come to my house. Because as a protector, I have to make sure I don't let things into my home that are going to harm my family. As my son grows up, I know that he's going to be exposed to a lot of stuff, but that's not going to happen at my house. Home should be an escape from the garbage. Do y'all see what I'm talking about this morning? Are you with me? Here's another way to protect your children. Deal with your issues. Hello. You want to protect your kids? Deal with your own issues, because it's not just about you, it's about them. It's time to stop making excuses for the anger or the lust or the racism or the drinking or the cussing or whatever else it is, because what you tolerate, you perpetuate. In other words, don't pass your problems down to the next generation. A good father protects his children. Number one, protector. Number two, provider. One of the names of God in the Bible is Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord, our provider. Yes. Just as our Heavenly Father provides for us, a good father provides for his children. He provides wisdom. He provides friendship. He provides insight. He provides opportunities for his children. Yes. Dad, it's your job to be a good example. Show them what it means to pray. Show your children what it means to trust God. Show them what it means to lead people to Jesus. Yes. Show them how to have fun God's way. Uh-huh. Teach them that you can be a Christian and still have fun. Did y'all know that? Yes. Come on, y'all. Some Christians are so dead and dull and dried up, y'all. Come look like they're baptized in vinegar. Had heard about a church where somebody died in the service and the paramedics carried out five of the wrong people before they found the one who had died, because we're so dead and dull and dried up. Come on, if you've never had fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. When you have fun God's way, you don't have to worry about a hangover the next morning. You don't have to look over your shoulder constantly. You don't have to wake up butt naked in somebody's front yard at 2:00 in the morning not remembering how you got there. Come on, y'all. Y'all must not have the same friends I had growing up. Anyway, have fun God's way. A good father is a provider. And listen, it's not about who makes the most money. Okay, you don't have to have the biggest paycheck. I like sugar mamas myself, okay? I got me a sugar mama right here. Yeah, yeah. I remember when I first started out full-time ministry. Ministry was spelled B-R-O-K-E exclamation point. Come on, we were broke. I'm telling you. I had me a sugar mama in the mental health field, and we were all right. Didn't bother me. I didn't have no complex. I said, hallelujah, cash the check. Girl, let's keep on going. So being a provider is not about who makes the most money. If you got a sugar mama, yeah. But you need to contribute something. Okay, even if it's picking sweet potatoes for $1.75 an hour, you're working and it's still honorable and you're helping provide for your family. Amen? And if you can't find a job, get a lawnmower. Amen. Learn a trade. Start a business. I heard somebody tell me along when I was growing up, if you ever need a job and you can't find one, get a push broom and go to the nearest store and start sweeping the parking lot till they hire you. Amen. A good father provides. A good father has a generous spirit. Young lady, if he's stingy, don't date him. If he forgets his wallet every time y'all go out to eat, you better run away. Because if he's stingy at 20, he'll be stingy at 40. And if he's stingy at 40, he'll be stingy at 60. And if he's stingy at 60, he'll be stingy at 80. Ain't gonna be sharing no pills with you. Bible says in Proverbs 28:22, greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Our Father in heaven is a generous Father. Bible says in Romans 8:32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? God will withhold no good thing from his children. He goes above and beyond. Number one, a protector. Number two, a provider. Number three, a good father is a promoter. A good father understands life is not about me. It's not about getting my family to make me look good. It's about me building them up and making them look good. The father's job is to encourage and to promote his children. We see this example with God himself, Matthew 3:17. Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. A good father knows the importance of encouragement. Think about it. Your kids are being constantly beat down and discouraged everywhere they're going. It's your job to fill that void and be the encourager that they desperately need. Here's our main verse today in 1 Thessalonians 4. You know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Dad, it's your job to encourage and comfort and strengthen your children. You are their promoter. I tell you this, I felt the call to God to ministry when I was 12 years old. And my parents fueled that fire. My first message was on a Sunday night in church, and it was terrible. That's how they say it in Nash County. It was terrible, y'all. It was terrible, 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 terrible. And boy, my daddy's talking like I was T.D. Jakes. You should have heard him spin that fire tonight. Good fathers promote their, I gotta get a high five for that. Good fathers promote their children. And look at me now. Still trying to figure out how to preach. I'll get it one day. Good fathers promote their children. And don't just promote your children. Promote their mother too. Your children need to see you treat their mama right. Because the way you treat their mother sets the stage for their generation. It shows your son how he should treat a woman. It shows your daughter how her husband ought to treat her. When you love and support and promote their mother, it gives your children a sense of safety and security. When Hudson was a baby and I would rock him to sleep, I'd like to talk to him about how wonderful and beautiful and kind his mother is. Why? Because I wanted him to have that sense of security. Plus the baby monitor was old. Boy, your mama is fine, she looks so good. He's been asleep 30 minutes. I just talking it up, man, trying to get some points in there. You know what I'm talking about. Your mama looks good. Get so excited, I'm waking back up again. But a good father, a five-star father, is a promoter. By the way, being a promoter means you never give up on your children. Think about the prodigal son in the Bible. The Bible says that he finally came to his senses and he traveled home hoping to just be a servant in his father's house. And the Bible says that his father was watching and waiting for his son to return to receive. And he didn't take him back as a servant. He put on the ring and the sandals and the robe and threw a big old celebration, a big party. Listen, it's never too late. Five things a good father is. I'm almost done, y'all. We're going to be eating shortly. Number one, protector. Two, provider. Three, promoter. And number four, good father is a priest. So wait a minute. What? I'm not telling you to put on a robe and hold confessional, even though if I could do that, if I could have confessional with my family members, I would abuse that power daily. But by priest, I mean the spiritual leader of your home. A good father leads his household spiritually. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Yes. So just as Jesus leads every believer, so the Father should lead his family. Yes. And here's the key to this kind of leadership. Be a man of prayer. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Yes. In other words, pray and don't give up praying. 1 Timothy says this, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Yes. And ladies, don't discourage your husband just because he doesn't pray the way that you pray. Because men and women don't pray the same way. Amen. Women talk to God about how they feel. But men don't pray like that. A man will say, Lord, I need $275 by Thursday. We're straight to the point, just the facts, right? I can tell when a worship song is written by a woman because it's all of these feelings, like I want to touch your face, and I want to feel you breathe, and I want to lay my head on your chest and hear your heartbeat. And I could tell I Exalt Thee was written by a man because it's basically three words over and over and over again. Ain't no feelings in that song. Men like to keep it simple even when we pray. So wives, just because he doesn't pray 10 hours a day and spit rolling the floor doesn't mean he's not praying. Amen. Five things a good father is: a protector, provider, promoter, priest, and last one, a good father is the prophet of the home. A five-star father declares the promises of God over his family. Dads, it's your job to speak life over your children. It's your job to say over them what God says about them. It's your job to pronounce a blessing over them. I think about Jacob and Rachel. It was the ultimate love story of the Bible. It was more Lifetime than Hallmark. It was a little scandalous with some baby mama drama, but Rachel was Jacob's love of Jacob's life. And the Bible says in Genesis 35:18 that she went into labor with their last child. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. As she was dying, in her dying breath, the love of his life, okay, mi amor por siempre, she said, his name will be Benoni. But Jacob came in and said, uh-uh. His name will be called Benjamin. Benoni means son of my sorrow. Jacob said, I'm not going to have that. Uh-uh. His name is not going to be son of my sorrow. It's going to be Benjamin, son of my strength. Son of my strength. You labeled him one thing, but I'm the father, and I'm going to tell him who he really is. And it was from the tribe of Benjamin, from his lineage, came the first king over Israel. Benjamin did not become a man of sorrow. He became a man of strength. Why? Because his father proclaimed that blessing over his life. Y'all, this generation desperately needs the voice of a father telling them who they really are. I've never seen such a widespread identity crisis in my life. People go through life trying this and trying that and being this and being that because they have no idea who they really are. You might not have any biological children, but you can be a father to this next generation. You can be the one who helps protect and provide and promote and pray and proclaim who they are in Christ. Dads, I dare you to go home today and lay hands on your children and prophesy over them. Declare God's promises over their life. Tell them about God's purpose and God's plan, that they're not going to live a life of sorrow, but they're going to live a life of strength. They're not going to be what the world says they're going to be. They're going to be who God says they are. Your job is to protect, provide, promote, pray, and proclaim the word of God. Maybe you're a man sitting here in service today or listening online, and maybe you're not doing so well in some of these areas. Listen, all of us, we're all a work in progress. Yeah. But if you need strength to be a better father, I'll make it simple for you this morning. Jesus is the answer. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you follow him, he will help you in every one of these areas. Maybe you're a believer, maybe you're a Christian, and you're not living up to these standards. It's time to start trusting Jesus and believing that he will give you the grace and give you the strength you need to be who he's called you to be. This whole concept of manhood centers around being strong, doesn't it? But here's what I've learned about God. His power is made perfect not in strength, but in weakness. In those areas where you're weak, God is strong. And if you trust him, he will give you strength. He will develop you into the father that he's called you to be. Will you stand as we pray this morning? Lord, I thank you for the gift of fathers. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are stirring people's hearts even now. God, not only to be fathers to their own children, but you're calling godly men to be a father to the fatherless, to invest in, to love, and to care for so many young men and young women who don't have a father in their life. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the fathers. Lord, that you would strengthen them. God, that you would place a special anointing upon them. God, to be who you've called them to be. Lord, to be the protector, to be the provider, the one who promotes and encourages, the one who prays, the one who declares your promises, the one who leads the way to church on Sunday morning. God, strengthen our fathers and strengthen our families. Lord, I thank you, God. The enemy is assaulting the family more than any other time in the history of this nation. And God, I pray for strength for godly families. Lord, I pray for restoration of broken homes. God, I thank you, Lord. And God, I pray for our single mamas and grandmamas. Lord, I thank you for strengthening them, God. Lord, that what they may lack in the natural, Lord, you are more than able to make up in the spiritual, God. Lord, we know you said in your word that you set people in families. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you've set them in a church family. Help us, God, to love them and strengthen them and pray for them and to encourage them and help them when they need us. And Lord, I thank you most of all for being our Heavenly Father. Lord, for loving us as dear children. Lord, I thank you, God. Though we were slaves to sin, we've not been made slaves in your kingdom, but you've adopted us as your own children. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for being the Father who will never leave us and never forsake us. Thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. God, I thank you that you're our strength when we're weak. Lord, you're our peace when we don't know what to do. God, we thank you for loving us, for being our Abba Father. And Lord, help us to lean on you more and rely on you more. God, that in every area of life, in every area of weakness, we would let you be strong. And Lord, we give you praise for that today. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Heavenly Father. You can know him today. God loves you, and the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that when we were at our worst, he loved us still. He sent Jesus to pay the sacrifice for your sins and my sins. And he has open arms ready to receive anyone willing to come to him today. If you haven't trusted your life to Jesus, trust him today. It'll be the strongest thing you've ever done. It'll be the wisest decision you've ever made. It'll change your family and it'll change generations to come. Today on Father's Day, make Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to help you make that decision this morning and help get you started in Jesus. I want to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I believe that Jesus is the way. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Heavenly Father. And Lord, with your help, I'll live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer a minute with all your heart, you have made the greatest decision you could ever make. And I want to ask everybody here who's given their heart to Jesus, will you just lift up your hands in worship? Can we just say thank you? Can we?